All right, it's time for another movie review, even though technically this is not a movie.
No, we're going to review the Logan's Run TV series.
Yes, because we did the Logan's Run movie, and everybody seemed to dig that a lot.
Yeah, matter of fact, our review of the Logan's Run movie actually is like climbing up to the top of the shit pile for Logan's Run reviews. But, you know, in a couple of years, it might be number one. Who knows? But it was a review and an analysis. Well, I liked that movie, so I went ahead and got the Logan's Run TV series on DVD.
Yeah, and we should note that neither of us saw this TV series back in the day.
No, it came out, I think it was in 77. And
actually, I think nobody saw it back in the day.
Yeah, and I don't even remember it. I do remember the movie, but I didn't know there was a TV series.
I didn't know there was either until very recently. It only ran for one season. They made 14 episodes, and only 11 of them were broadcast.
Right, at least in the United States. It evidently bombed. So I expected this to be a really bad series.
Yeah, we were really not expecting. We were expecting it to be like super cheesy 70s.
Because it was the stuff that we grew up with in the U.S. during the 70s. Everything was kind of like Love Boat. And
yeah, I was expecting something that kind of level.
And to my surprise, it was a great series.
This actually it's actually quite good.
Pretty good series.
Yeah. For late 70s sci-fi.
Yeah.
It took a lot from the movie. It's kind of like, it's not really a continuation, and it's not
reboot.
Really, it's kind of like a soft reboot, I guess you would call it, because it's got kind of similar elements, but like the events at the end of the movie didn't really happen, I guess.
Right. Well, what they did was is Jessica and Logan run from the Dome City for slightly different reasons, and the series is basically their adventures outside the Dome City.
Yeah.
You know, and they run into a lot of cool stuff, you know. Aliens, alien invasions, time travelers, barbarians, mind control cults, stuff like that. They did go back to the Dome City in one episode and try to liberate people. That didn't work out, though. They ended up meeting a sidekick. His name is Rem.
He's an android.
Who was a 200-year-old android who kind of like android-splained everything to them. And was kind of like their father figure in a way. But you can really see that Rem was a prototype for Data.
He's kind of a similar character.
There's a huge crossover between Star Trek, the original series, also known as TOS. That's what Star Trekkies call it, Star Trek TOS. And some of this looks like was influenced on Next Generation with, Data. A lot of the same writers were involved.
Yeah.
A lot of crossover.
Yeah, I should note that, the pilot episode of the Logan's Run TV series was actually written by William F. Nolan, who was one of the guys that co-wrote the original Logan's Run novel. It also should be noted, too, that some of the episodes of this show, like one of them was written by the same guy that wrote The Trouble with Tribbles, very famous Star Trek episode. And one of them was also written by Harlan Ellison, who also wrote a shit ton of really famous sci-fi and wrote a shit ton of Star Trek episodes. Harlan Ellison wrote the one called The Crypt, and which was the one about
vampires. No, sorcerers, right?
No. Okay. The Crypt was the one about the frozen scientists.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay.
Yeah, which was actually one of the best ones. Yeah, so there was a lot of Star Trek crossover. And honestly, the feel of the show is very similar to Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, where each one was kind of like
A standalone
episode, sort of. But it was just, like you said, it's kind of like Logan and Jessica's adventures, like outside of the Dome and like all the other civilizations they meet. You know, it's kind of like a morality tale. Each one was kind of like a morality tale with like a different theme.
Yeah. And also like the indoor shots felt very Star Trek TOS, the way they were lit.
Yeah.
You know, and just the way the sets were. Kind of, you know, and of course they're updated. Very like swinging 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And everything kind of looks like a Love Motel. You know? But pretty cool though.
It really did.
I have to knock the theme song.
Yeah.
The theme song was a good theme song marred by this special effect that went pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. And I swear to God, it says it's pew, pew, pew.
It really, it's like we're not even exaggerating. Well, at the beginning or the end of the video, I'll put, because I did find the original theme song on YouTube, so I'll put that on there. But you guys, it's really pew, pew, pew.
Pew,
it really
pew,
is.
Pew. Yeah, now the theme song, the music underneath it isn't bad, but it's just kind of marred by this pew, pew, pew. I think it needed a thematic opening song, you know, kind of like Star Trek. Or actually, you know what it really matched? Something kind of like proto-industrial, like the theme to Doctor Who or...
That would have been rad, actually.
The theme to $6 Million Man with the... You know, a little computer.
Yeah.
A little
see, computer. That would have been cool.
That would have fit this scene.
Now, the culprit for this, and the shitty thing, too, about this theme song is it will get stuck in your head forever.
Yeah.
Like once you hear it. So I'm going to put it at the beginning. So it'll be stuck in everyone else's head too.
And the opening sequence doesn't really match. They show like the worst of this entire series, all just condensed as like teaser shots. Fake looking aliens.
Yeah. Well, it's very 70s.
Weird poses. Very 70s. And
but not, it's very, it's like a 70s show, but not like a sci-fi show.
Yeah. The opening, the little opening to this show really kind of puts the whole show in a bad light. You watch it and you go, oh shit, this is awesome.
Yeah, because it is a really good show.
It should have been just Carousel and the Red Crystal and zapping people, zapping runners. You know, it should have been that, I think.
Even though the stuff with Carousel, the shots from that they used from Carousel were actually from the movie,
movie.
And that was pretty much only in the pilot. I think there was one episode later on, maybe it was the 10th or 11th episode, where they actually did go back to the City of Domes and they were kind of trying to tell everybody that Carousel's a lie, you're really going to die, and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the shots of the Dome City were right from the movie.
Yeah, so I think they used a lot of shots from the movie.
And in the transfer of the the pilot episode into DVD, it looks like crap. The very first.
Well, I read that they actually had to get the episodes from several different sources. So I guess they didn't do like a super good job of like matching them. Like some of them look really good, but the effects insert shots look kind of shitty.
Especially in the pilot. The pilot episode looks a lot rougher than the other ones.
Yeah.
As the series goes on, it actually gets better looking, I think.
Yeah.
Also, this is evidently, this series is one of the first series to use CG. All the little weapons effects were CG and like force fields and barriers.
Yeah, they used a lot of like force fields, like fences made of light and things like that.
And they looked pretty good for the day.
Yeah, I mean, by today's standards, they look super cheesy, but like for back then, it was kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah. And it looks like the costumes got a lot better as it went on.
Yeah, yeah.
The costumes of the bad guys on the pilot episode were pretty bad.
True.
But they did get better. I liked the writing. It was, I'd put it up there with Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah, like I said, it's a very similar kind of vibe. So, you know, if you're really into the Star Trek original series, you might want to check this out. Like I said, probably, I think, overall, the best episode of this was the one that was called Man Out of Time.
Yeah, the time traveler.
And that was written by a guy named David Gerrold, who also wrote the Star Trek episode The Trouble with Tribbles. Mm-hmm. And he's also the guy that came up with the concept of the Sleestaks on Land of the Lost. Now, evidently, he wrote this screenplay for this particular episode, and he didn't like it. Or they changed it too much. So he actually, so if you watch the episode, it actually says no award. No award is the pseudonym that he used, meaning like no award, you know what I mean?
Right.
But no award. And because he didn't like it. But actually, this was probably the best episode of the series, I thought.
Yeah.
Having to do with a guy. Have you seen Logan's Run, the movie and stuff like that? They kind of go more into, you know, the nuclear war that wiped out most of the people and stuff like that. So you get this guy who's like a time traveler, and he is trying to figure out what caused, comes from the past.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to figure out what caused
the apocalypse.
Nuclear holocaust so he can go back and prevent it from happening.
Right.
And there's like a big moral quandary about, well, if I prevent it from happening, then none of you people will exist and all this other kind of stuff.
It'll erase the Dome City and Logan and Jessica. They won't exist because the apocalypse would have never happened. Which is actually pretty cool because most sci-fi and fantasy got time travel wrong on a regular basis. All you gotta do is just look at Superman.
Yeah.
If you fly around the planet backwards fast enough, you can save Lois. You don't have to redo anything. It'll just save Lois. You know,
that always bothered me, even when I was a kid.
That does not make sense.
Like, well, because some of the shit still happened, but then some of the shit didn't happen.
Yeah, you'd have to go back and prevent it, but he didn't. He just reversed
the time. That's what I mean.
Time.
He only reversed it till like a couple minutes before
That would happen a lot in time travel sci-fi, time travel sci-fi. No concept of, you know, split timelines or going back and changing things. Now, if you go back in the past and change it, it will erase the present. They didn't do that back then. But in this Logan's Run episode, they actually got time travel right.
And that was actually, like I said, I think that was objectively the best episode of the series, I thought. I mean, they're all pretty good.
They're all good. They're all pretty good.
There was, and the other memorable ones, there was one that was kind of set up like the most dangerous game.
That was, I think, the weakest one.
You think?
Yeah, because it wasn't quite inventive. I think they just kind of lifted the most dangerous game
story. Well, a lot of people lifted that.
They lifted that same one. So it was
kind of, short story.
Yeah, kind of played out. They stop an alien invasion in one of them. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That
was the last one, wasn't it? I'm not sure if that one actually aired, because I know the last three episodes, I don't think they aired anywhere. Maybe overseas, but I don't think they aired in the US.
I think there were actually two alien invasions, weren't they? Because I think it was in the third episode, didn't they find some aliens that were collecting species from all over the universe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
They were invading, and also the other ones were invading.
Yeah.
So there were two alien invasions that they stopped.
You're welcome,
and
Earth.
In the second one, they were kind of like body snatchers. Remember, they could take
over your body and stuff like that. Yeah, that's
And then there were some weird mind control cults, people that they would take a person, they'd put them in a transporter, like in that Star Trek series, and split them into a good half and a bad half.
A good half and an evil half, right.
And they'd throw the evil half away.
Yeah, like they would live outside like as savages, quote unquote. Yeah. And then the good sides would live inside the.
Yeah.
Also, that episode starred a very young Kim Cattrall. Because I'm watching it the whole time going, that is Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
I know that voice. I know that face.
As the series unfolds, you see a lot of familiar faces in it.
Yeah, you really do.
American TV mostly. Some movies.
And the guy that played Rem, David Moffat, he was in a shit ton of stuff too. And he was, I have to say, he was probably my favorite character on the whole show. He had the most personality, even though he was an android, he had the most personality of all the characters on the show. I'm not dinging the guy that played Logan and the chick that played Jessica.
It's just those characters were not real well written.
They were just they were there to kind of move the plot along.
Yeah, they were like plot devices.
I kind of feel like had the series continued,
it probably would have gotten
better. It probably would have gotten more interesting, because in the last few episodes, they kind of started to get Logan and Jessica like together.
To make it like a couple.
Where it's like before they were just kind of buddies and they were just like, you know, running together and stuff like that.
Rem definitely steals the show, because Rem actually, like I said, he droid-splains everything.
Yeah.
he's actually knowledgeable. Jessica and Logan are from the Dome City. They're kind of naive and they don't really know a lot of stuff. And Jessica doesn't have any skills. It wasn't until the very end of the series
that she actually came up with an idea that was a good idea.
So she's kind of spends a lot of her time running around and jiggling.
I think that was kind of her main function that's
awesome. There's a lot of hotties in this series. If you're into the hotties and little short tunics and a lot of jiggling, there's a lot of, it's like fuck bras. All series.
Every time a woman ran in this series when we were watching it, Tom's like, fuck bras.
Fuck bras. You know what I'm talking about?
Because the titties are just bouncing up and down.
And it's the 70s, you know what I mean? Because that was cool back in the day, you know? It's still cool, I guess. In a counterculture kind of way, I guess.
Although somebody, like, you have to have, like...
The thing is, there was no reason for it other than to jiggle.
Well, yeah.
You know, jiggling wasn't really...
He's going into a dissertation about boob jiggling.
Yeah, okay, we're not going to talk about that.
Well, I think there were some people that were involved with Charlie's Angels that were involved with this show also.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't find it super egregious. Like, the outfits were kind of sexy and stuff like that, but not to the point where it was, like, super distracting or anything.
No, they were cool.
Yeah, it was just, like, regular shit.
It was just of the time, the 60s and the 70s, and that's just the way people
wore. That's what people wore, and that's what they wore on TV shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't... I almost feel like Star Trek, the original series, like, sexualized women more than this show did.
Well, I think in TOS there was a little bit more, and I don't really want to get into this, you know, I don't want to sound like a fuddy-dud or anything, but TOS was of its time, you know what I mean? It was a little bit more of a sexist culture then. Jessica was actually a modern woman. There wasn't sexism going on. It's just
not
that
really.
She was just sexy.
Yeah.
You know, and certain things.
I mean, she was an independent person. I mean, she was really the kind of the one that talked Logan into running, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of just like the movie, even though he had been questioning it.
Yeah.
You know, unlike the movie.
The problem was that in the Dome City, everyone was kind of like a pampered pet. They didn't really have any skills.
Right.
And I think that they should have written into the script to where Jessica and Logan were trying to adapt and get more skills. They didn't do that enough.
Not really.
No.
I mean,
Rem carried them through so many of those.
Yeah, and they didn't really meet Rem until a few episodes in.
Right.
Now, before that, they basically, I think in the pilot, you know, they escaped from the city. Francis is still alive in the series, so he's like their main antagonist.
Yeah, they're
like,
running from Francis.
Francis and various other Sandmen. Because
they're trying to capture him and bring him back
in
the
series, Francis and the Sandmen, they're allowed to leave the Dome City to bring runners back.
Under a special agreement. We shouldn't really spoil it because I don't want to do too many spoils because this spoilers for this series because this series is so rare and so unknown, at least in the United States. I think in Britain it's a little better known.
Yeah.
I think it played over a little bit longer. I think it maybe went into syndication. In the U.S., this is almost like a forgotten series.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil too much of the shit about the Dome City.
Yeah.
You know, let's just, like I said, it is not a continuation of the movie. It's a reboot.
It's different. There's, you know, it's similar kind of look, similar kind of concept. But some stuff about the Dome City is different. Some stuff, you know, like I said, it's kind of like a soft reboot. It mostly takes place outside.
Right.
Of the city.
Yeah.
Most of the series does.
Yeah. And it's mostly taking place in California.
Yeah.
You can tell because I grew up in those areas.
Yeah, like out in the desert and
out
stuff.
Out in the desert and they go to Griffith's Observatory, you know, and all that. But it's pretty cool. Now, let's talk about some of the problems with this.
Before we do that, I have to say, because I said what I thought the best episode was, Man Out of Time.
Yeah.
Also, another good one was where they found that one girl that had those powers.
Yeah,
the psychic. And she lived by herself with the robot maid and the robot friend.
Yeah, another thing is...
That was also a good one.
Kind of like TOS, these are very rewatchable.
Yeah.
I will definitely rewatch it.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely worth getting.
I'm glad that I bought it. It's a 3-CD DVD set. 15 episodes or 14 episodes?
14 episodes.
14 episodes. I think I paid $25 to $27 for it. It was a limited production. I don't think they make very many of them.
They didn't
make very many of them. So you're lucky to find it, I think, on eBay. It's very, if you like Logan's Run, the movie, and if you like old Star Trek, I definitely recommend it. You'll like the series.
But I have to say, I was going to say, like, those are the best episodes. My favorite episode, and probably predictably because of my gothiness, was, and I'm not sure if they made this for Halloween broadcast.
It was made for Halloween.
I think it was made for Halloween broadcast. It was essentially...
A Hammer horror film.
A Hammer horror film.
Yeah.
Except with sort of sci-fi elements. Not even really that many sci-fi elements.
No. Yeah, it was more like a horror episode.
It was like a horror episode.
Yeah, they find a haunted house. They think it's haunted. And they run into weird sorcerers and necromancers and vampires, maybe?
Were they supposed to be vampires?
I have to see it again.
I thought they were like Satanists or something.
That was mixed in with it too, but there was also
Satanist
resurrection
vampires.
And human sacrifice to bring people back to life. It was a cool episode.
It was a really cool, like really cool, creepy old house. I think it was maybe one of the same houses they might have used for an episode of Night Gallery because it looked kind of familiar.
It did.
And with like, there were like rooms with all these black candles and all this kind of stuff, and I'm all about that shit.
Yeah.
So that was probably my favorite episode. I think it was called Night Visitors, right?
Yeah,
Night Visitors was the name
of
that one.
Problems with the series. The theme song in the opening.
Yeah, you guys.
That may have actually sabotaged this series. If it had a better opening, I think the series would have made it, or at least gone a little bit longer. Another thing I didn't really like about it is that how long can you actually be on the run? This is supposed to be called Logan's Run. He's running from Francis and the Sandman teams.
Yeah.
Okay, because they want to catch him and bring him back to the Dome City to use as basically a propaganda ploy.
Right.
To say, look, don't run. There's nothing out there. How long could this actually go on? In Star Trek, it was supposed to be a 5-year mission, you know? How long could it actually go on? These two people on the run outside the city in a solar-powered vehicle.
Because they did find a car.
Right.
You guys.
They're still looking for sanctuary, but they never find it. Well, when are they going to realize there's no sanctuary? There's just freedom, you know?
Well, I kind of feel, like I said, if the series had continued, I mean, Star Trek, I guess, they had more scope because they had the whole entire fucking universe. They could go anywhere. It was in the future. The thing about Logan's Run is that they're kind of limited by the range of their solar vehicle.
Yeah.
They can only go so far. And I have to say, too, that even just with the first 14 episodes, kind of suspends your disbelief a little bit because there was supposed to be a nuclear holocaust, however many, like 200 years before or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the range of just how far they're driven from the Dome City, which probably wasn't very far because Francis and them were still coming back and forth, like looking for them. There was a shit ton of like all these civilizations just everywhere. Yeah. They came across a new one every week.
Yeah.
So if you think about it too hard, you're just kind of like, what? You know, I thought everyone was dead. Why is like all these people were, like out here?
There were evidently lots of survivors and lots of little towns.
Like within a couple of miles of the Dome City. Yeah. And none of them knew about the Dome City.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a couple of miles. It just felt like a couple of miles because every time I'm seeing it, I go, yeah, I know that is. That's Southern California.
Yeah, well, yeah, you grew up there so you know.
Yeah, that's about 40 miles away. Okay. Yeah, that's on the way to Sequoia.
Like, if you don't think about it, then it's fine. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like a Monster of the Week type of, or Civilization of the Week or whatever, just like Star Trek was doing. But like I said, it becomes less believable when it's not in space.
Right.
Because you can only go so far.
Right.
How much water did they have? How much food did they have? You know,
the solar vehicle that they found too. It looks like ass. That thing just
it
looks
did look bad.
Dumb.
Well, which is dumb.
It had a symbol on it that was nonsensical.
Which is dumb because the vehicle that the Sandmen had was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, even though the solar powered vehicle that they found was 200 years old.
Yeah,
the Sandmen's vehicle was supposed to be new. And the Sandman vehicle actually looked really cool. They were made by the same company. There was a custom car maker that made them. The Sandman's vehicle looked like a dune buggy with a real cool, like, bubble car.
I think
it might have been an electric car, though.
It might have been. And actually, I think it was that vehicle that was actually used in that Tom Petty video, You Got Lucky, from
the
80s, like, later on. They kind of refitted it.
Wasn't it the solar power vehicle that they used?
I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the two vehicles.
Okay, I think it was the solar.
It was in that Tom
Petty. What'd they call it? The solar craft. Isn't that what they called it?
Did they call it that? Something like that.
Something like that.
Solar car, solar craft.
Yeah, that thing looked like a pregnant guppy. it looked terrible. But oh well. You know, they probably thought it looked cool in the day.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it had to be bigger because the Sandman one usually only had like two dudes in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other one, the one that Logan and Jessica had, that had to be bigger, I guess.
It was like a van.
Yeah, it was kind of like a solar-powered SUV kind of. Because that had to have RAM in it.
It's like a van, a mail truck, an ice cream truck, and some ass had a baby and a guppy. it's just terrible.
Some ass and a guppy.
Yeah.
I love that you threw that in there too.
But it was a good series though. I liked it. I'll watch it again.
Like I said, I kind of feel like Rem stole the whole show. Yeah. Like once he got introduced, it got a lot better.
Yeah.
Because he was just such a great character. He was very funny and very, like not in a zany kind of way.
And I'm telling you right now, he was the inspiration for Data.
I kind of feel like he probably was.
Yeah. Whoever invented the Data character from Star Trek Next Generation saw this series.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a similar.
Yeah.
Because he had kind of a very dry wit and he was just like I liked him a lot. And like I said, the other guys were fine, like the guy that played Francis and the guy that played Logan and stuff like that. I guess because of where they had come from, which I guess is kind of believable because they came from the Dome City, like I said, they were kind of pampered.
Yeah.
They had everything done for them. You know, they didn't have like a lot of spunk. They didn't have a lot of personality.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of went out and they just...
They were like plot devices to tell you a science fiction episode. Like,
It was more plot-based than character-based.
Imagine a bunch of different Twilight Zone episodes happening with some characters in common to show you this Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
That's kind of how they felt.
Like, like I said, they were kind of like ciphers because the plot didn't really come out of their personality.
It's just shit they found.
Yeah, plot was just like the overarching thing and they were like, well, you just throw these characters in to like guide you through the plot.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're a writer or if you know anything about that, you kind of know what I'm talking about.
I can understand why, though. You know, the Logan's Run story premise is very basic.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to develop those characters in weird directions. Like, well, I don't know. Maybe you could. You're a writer.
Well, anything can be done.
You could do it, right.
If you kind of know what you're doing and think about it and stuff like that.
No way was Logan as compelling as, say, James T. Kirk.
Well, hardly anybody's that compelling.
And then Jessica was definitely a merger of the original Jessica and the Farrah Fawcett character that was in the movie together.
It definitely seemed like those two characters had been...
The new TV Jessica, when you look at her, she looks the same hair.
She had Farrah Fawcett
same
hair.
Basic facial structure as Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, so she looked like Farrah Fawcett.
They wanted Farrah Fawcett to be Jessica.
Yeah.
Is what is.
Which is kind of sad because
she was a hot commodity in the '77.
Because in the Logan's Run movie, Jenny Agutter, she was actually a really good character.
Yeah,
really,
and she was good looking. I think she was actually better looking than
I do too. Actually, like, I'm not just a dude, but I'm just saying from a girl point of view,
Farrah Fawcett was just.
I thought Jenny Agutter was much prettier than Farrah Fawcett.
Well, they're both good looking women. It's just
that, yeah, they are. I'm just saying if I had to pick.
Yeah, Farrah Fawcett was the it girl of the time. She was just because she was cool. If she was cool, I thought she was kind of vapid, actually. It wasn't much to her.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of that going on at that time.
You could tell she was, you know, partying pretty hard, if you ask me.
I always liked Jenny Agutter's Jessica better from the movie, just because she seemed intelligent. She seemed, you know, she wasn't there. She was sexy, but she wasn't there just for
She had some nice legs, too.
She did, yeah.
She had real nice legs.
That's what I mean. She has, like, a really beautiful face. Yeah. And so I feel like for the TV show, they kind of wanted her... They wanted her to be, like, an independent character because she was, like, in the rebellion. She'd been in the rebellion for a long time. So she was very independent. She was very outspoken. But I do kind of feel like, well, we want her to look kind of like Farrah Fawcett, but we can't get Farrah Fawcett.
Right, yeah.
So this is, like, the next best thing, I guess. Heather Menzies is the name of the actress that played her.
Yeah, another thing that was weird about the series is that they did not exhibit any survivalist traits. In other words, they didn't save weapons that they came across.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah, they didn't.
They need to start watching The Walking Dead or some shit.
Yeah, they didn't. She was wearing those same flimsy little slippers the whole time.
How did she walk through the desert with, like, all those rocks and everything with just those little steps? They're not even really shoes.
They were just socks.
They were like ballet slippers. Not even that structure.
Yeah, they didn't get any cold weather equipment or any sleeping gear, it looks like.
They just wore the same outfits the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand, like, this, like, Logan, where he wore the Sandman outfit the whole time. Like, he had the Sandman outfit. It had long sleeves and the gun, and he had boots.
Yeah.
But her outfit, she just wore that flimsy little... It wasn't green, like, in the movie. It was, like, a pinky Sam-ish.
Yeah, it almost looked like a negligee, almost.
Yeah, it's like just a short little shiny dress and these tiny little slippers.
Yeah.
And they're like walking around in the fucking desert in these outfits.
Around,
they never got dirty. They never changed. They never like stole any clothes off anybody they killed or anything like that. Nope. Why did they not do that?
I don't know. Because they didn't want to change the way the characters looked. They wanted to make them look like
I guess back in the old days, like people, they were like, well, if we change their clothes, everyone will forget who they are.
Who they are.
Who the fuck are these people? Every time they change clothes, it's like, these are all new people. What's happening?
Well, you know, TV of that time was like a big formula, you know?
And
for all we know, these episodes were not played in any given order.
That's kind of what I'm feeling like. And we were actually discussing this the other day because I said, it seems like, well, nowadays, people don't watch TV the same as they used to.
They don't binge watch.
Nowadays, everybody binge watches stuff on Netflix and stuff like that.
They didn't have that back then.
So nowadays, they kind of tend to make TV series as though it's one big long movie.
Yeah, not back then.
Whereas back then, I kind of feel like they were heading more toward, one, you could jump in anywhere in the season and know what was going on. Two, they could go into syndication and play them in a different order and you would still be able to enjoy them because everything kind of wrapped up in a half hour, an hour, however long the show was. So the TV back then was much more episodic.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have seen the shit that went before to know what was happening.
All these things were just hooks to get you to watch commercials.
Right.
You know, they didn't really care a whole lot about them. As long as they could sell commercial advertising on top of them, they were happy. Now, why did the series fail? I think it was basically Star Wars. Star Wars, when Star Wars came out, it upped the ante so much.
I think it killed a lot of sci-fi TV.
It killed a lot of old sci-fi off. And TV tried to respond with the old Battlestar Galactica. And that may have worked better than these old series, but Star Wars, that first Star Wars placed the bar so high that it just knocked a lot of sci-fi out of, you know,
I think it might have. And honestly, I mean, when this show started, it does seem like they were kind of pushing it because they did have
toys were coming.
They had a prototype toys and stuff. And if you go on, there's a site, it's called Mego Museum or something like that. There was a company called Mego, and they had actually made some dolls. They made one of Logan, they made one of Francis, they made one of Jessica, although I haven't seen the Jessica one because evidently it's very rare. So they were going to do like a big push out and stuff like that, but they actually ended up never going into production because the show only lasted less than a season, really.
Yeah,
I remember reading too that I think that this show they kept moving the time slot around too, which is never a good sign.
Not a good idea.
So I don't know if they said, well, it's failing in this one time slot, so let's move it to this other one.
Yeah.
And when people don't know it's on, they're not going to.
Right.
I feel like people used to.
Back in those days, they had to print TV guides.
Yeah,
and put them
I remember
out.
Those.
Remember those TV guide magazines? You got to get them in the
grocery
store.
And they were in the paper too.
And if they changed the slot, they changed the slot, and sometimes it wouldn't be reflected in the TV guide.
Yeah.
I remember that, the TV guide being wrong sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So it couldn't build up a following. And I think they were probably had given up on it even.
Probably.
Probably a few weeks into it, they were probably going, you know what, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, because like I said, they didn't even air the last three episodes.
Right.
I don't know if they had planned to go on more, because it seems like the last episode, which didn't air, but episode 14, I didn't really, like, it was kind of a big deal. There was like a big alien invasion, and Rem got taken apart and all this other kind of stuff. Like, he's fine, but whatever. So I didn't really get the sense that it was a finale.
No. They just stopped it.
It just seemed, it didn't seem like super abrupt. They were like, oh, we're going to do this next episode, and then they didn't do it. But it didn't seem like a finale either.
Oh, no. I think when they filmed them all, when they shot all these episodes, they expected it to go for a couple of seasons.
They might have. Because, like I said, they did set up a couple threads, like in the last, you know, two or three episodes that seemed like Logan and Jessica were falling in love.
Right.
You know, so, which might have made things more interesting.
Yeah, but how long could you go on with this theme?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think it was going to make it. And I think what they started to do at that time, because of Star Wars, they realized it was going to have to be a big budget series.
Yeah.
And the answer to that would have been Battlestar Galactica. The original Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
That had a much bigger budget than this.
Well.
And it was trying to challenge Star Wars.
Yeah. Because the thing about Logan's Run is that, and even the thing about the movie too, is that, yeah, it's a sci-fi series, but it's not set in space.
No.
It's on Earth.
Yeah.
And so there's
and it's
really...
it's not based in technology.
Yeah, really. There's really only so much you can do with that. Like I said, basically it's just like Star Trek on Earth. You know, where we're just like going 5 miles down through the desert, and then we're finding this one civilization that lives in caves or whatever, and they have some weird shit going on. Yeah. And that was pretty much all they could do. So, yeah, I'm not sure how sustainable that formula would have been over the long haul.
But, and I think we've pretty much covered everything there is to say about Logan's Run, the TV series. But I want to end it. I want to give it my opinion. If you liked Twilight Zone, if you liked Star Trek TOS, if you like the Next Generation and you like the Logan's Run, the movie, this series is for you. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, we enjoyed it. It was much, much better than I was expecting. Yeah. I was expecting it to be a total cheese ball.
Yeah.
Just
something
a
bad,
stupid...
like old Kazam and Shazam and those little series.
Yeah. I was like expecting that. And this was actually a very serious, it was a good looking
Sid
show.
Marty Croft, you know, Speed Buggy, you know. No, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
About like Star Trek at the time.
It was very, very similar kind of vibe. Yeah. So, you know, if you like that kind of vibe, then you will probably enjoy this as well.
Yep.
So that'll do it for our latest movie review. Remember to check us out on Patreon. Remember to check out our blog and all the other stuff I usually say. And subscribe to our YouTube channel if you would. And like, share, subscribe, and all that other business. And until next time, see ya.